Hey, welcome back. This is Kevin Woodman, and welcome back to my Philadelphia Eagles Talk podcast. This is episode 4 of a brand new podcast, so if you like what you hear, make sure to stick around. I'm not even sure how podcasts work, if it's come to subscribing or whatever, but thank you for listening nevertheless. Today's topic, I'm going to be talking about the Eagles game that just ended, the Eagles-Cardinals game, my thoughts and takeaways on what I saw. The Eagles did, in fact, lose the game, which was kind of expected. I said in my last podcast, the second that I heard that they were going to be playing without Darius Slay, that was essentially it for me. I mean, they already lost Rodney McLeod. That was a very tall order to expect this team to slow down the Cardinals' passing attack. Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, who both had very big days. It was really hard to ask them to basically just put together a mash unit and slow down one of the better offenses in the league. I didn't really expect them to necessarily win the game, but the defense, in my opinion, played outstanding football regardless of all the injuries. I mean, they put out a mash unit of cornerbacks and DBs out there, and they really played hard. DeAndre Hopkins, I mean, he showed once again why he might be the best receiver in the league. I don't really think you can argue it. He probably is the best receiver in the league. A couple of the plays that he made, a couple of the catches that he made were heavily contested, and that dude just got like kung fu grip when it comes to hands. I mean, he has some of the best hands in the game, maybe in NFL history. He's going to be up there by the end of his career. We'll be talking about his hands with some of the greatest hands of all time. So there's not a lot that the Eagles could have necessarily done to slow him down. Even if Darius Slay had played, Darius Slay, we've seen him give up some pretty big performances to some of the top quality receivers in the game. I just hope that Darius Slay could have slowed him down a little bit. But the Eagles definitely got some really great performances on the defensive side. So getting into some of the performances from the defensive side of the ball, there was some serious standout performances from some real budget beast type players. I mean, that's one of the reasons I'm high on the Eagles' future, especially next year, regardless of what direction they go with when it comes to the quarterback, which will be the big story in the offseason, I'm sure. But there's a lot of really good young talent, or a lot of really good, under the radar guys that the Eagles have brought on to this roster. And one of them, I mean, Alex Singleton was making plays all over the field. I think that guy, I don't want to say he's a star linebacker, but he's definitely a starting caliber NFL linebacker, in my opinion. I'm pretty sure, if I'm not correct, he came from Canada and he played pretty good up there. I don't know the full history of Alex Singleton. He's a guy that they snuck onto the roster, and he's gotten an opportunity. He's running away with it. I really like him. I think he looks like they have, between him and, I still like T.J. Edwards, although obviously T.J. Edwards' skill set is a little bit different. He's more of a run-stop defender. I think between those two guys alone, though, I think they have a pretty solid linebacking core going forward in the future, with a couple other guys mixed in there that hopefully can make an impact. Some of the rookies they drafted this last year would be nice. But the defensive player of the game for me was probably Michael Jacquet. Couldn't even tell you where that guy came from, where they brung him on from, what practice facility, where they stole him. I mean, I'm sure there's a really good story behind him. But he had, I think he had 2 forced fumbles. He had a half a sack. I mean, he was playing all over the field. He had a really big tip ball earlier in the game, which, like I said, that's something you needed guys like that to step up and do those type of things. You needed guys, especially in the secondary, considering what they were rolling out there, to make plays. And they definitely got more than their fair share. I mean, I think they were a little bit lucky. If you look at some of the, they definitely gave up a lot of yards, but it really came down to they played some opportunistic football and they forced some turnovers that you wouldn't expect. They got some turnovers. Some of them were kind of fluky, like the one fumble from Kyler Murray, although the Cardinals were putting a lot of balls on the ground. They were fumbling the ball a lot. We didn't even come up. If we would have came up with every fumble, we probably would have won the game. But they definitely had some ball security issues that we capitalized on, and that's really what kept this game close. But overall, I mean, when you look at the game, what you can't help but come away with, other than Jalen Hurts, and believe me, I'm going to save him for a little bit of a segment later because I'm going to do a big portion on Jalen Hurts, but if you look at the game as its entirety, they just look so rejuvenated and so revitalized and so energetic on offense and defense. Even when the game looked like could be getting out of hand, or it could be getting to a point where the game would essentially be over, they just fought tooth and nail all the way through, and it was led by Jalen Hurts. So without a doubt, I mean, the defensive side, even though it doesn't look great on the statistics side, I thought they played a great game. I thought they played their heart out. I can't really complain about that performance based off of the fact that, you know, they were so shorthanded, which they've been pretty much all year. I think that they did a really good job against some of the best offensive players in the game. But now on the offensive side, which is obviously the big story, without a doubt, is Jalen Hurts once again. I've been out in front of the Jalen Hurts ship about as much as I can be, considering this is a new podcast. And I've only done, this is my fourth episode now. So as much as I can be privately before I decide to make this podcast, as I'm slurring my words here, but as privately as I could be, you know, amongst friends and whatnot, I've been huge on Jalen Hurts. When they drafted him, I was one of the few people that came out and said that I actually thought it was a good pick, because I really thought that Jalen Hurts as a prospect, when you look at the line of quarterbacks that Jalen Hurts is associated with coming out of college, which, you know, number one, Tua, you know what I mean? Tua Tagovailoa, excuse me if I can't say his name correctly, but Tua is without a doubt a guy that was looked at as a surefire number one pick in the draft. Obviously, he hurt his hip, fell to fifth, though, which obviously still isn't very far, and now he's looking pretty good in the NFL. He's already looking pretty good in the NFL through just a couple of games with the Dolphins. Then you look at, that's who replaced Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts, by the way, I mean, when you look at his recruiting background, a guy got recruited to Alabama and started as a true freshman. That is pretty unheard of when you consider that Alabama is like the Yankees, the Lakers of college football right now. I mean, they're just the best college football program in the world, without a doubt, when it comes to you know, just college football. I mean, they are college football. Every year, it's like they're just pumping out the hits, and great NFL prospects as well. So when you got a guy that gets recruited and starts right away at a program like that, that's a pretty big feather in your cap, in my opinion. That shows a lot about who you are as a player. Now, he lost his job to Tua. Tua obviously was a great player as well, because he was considered to be the number one pick in the draft. He's one of, remember everybody was saying tank for Tua, tank for Tua, the same way they're saying tank for Trevor Lawrence right now. There's rare players like that that can make people or fan bases want to tank to take them in football. It just doesn't really happen that often. I mean, guys like Andrew Luck and Joe Burrow, I mean, there's so few players that people actually can consider this type of talk to do. But ultimately, I mean, when you look at, you know, he lost his job to Tua, but then he succeeded in Oklahoma, and he followed two number one picks in Kyler Murray, who he just played in this game, and Baker Mayfield before that, who's looking pretty good in the NFL right now. So when you talk about the class of quarterbacks that Jalen Hurts belongs in coming out of college, it's three guys that are all expected to be number one picks. So that, I mean, obviously Baker Mayfield wasn't necessarily expected. That guy, he worked his way up from the bottom. Let's not make no mistake about it. But there, I mean, he's a Heisman Trophy winner. I mean, he's obviously a high prospect. I think that physically, I don't know if his tools are on the par of what you would want out of a number one pick. But ultimately, Baker Mayfield, as of right now, looks like a good decision, as he's basically turned the Browns around. He's one of the major reasons why the Browns, which are, you know, perennial bottom feeders, are looking like an NFL franchise on the rise. So if he's in a class with those three quarterbacks, I have to believe that if Jalen Hurts didn't, you know, lose his job the way that he did, if Tua never came along and took his job, I have to believe that he would have took a closer path to what Tua took, which is basically, I mean, he has great college stats. He was the Heisman runner-up last year, only spending 1 year in Oklahoma. I mean, he's been a part of so much success already. You have to think that if he would have stayed in Oklahoma and if he would have started all the years that he needed to, he probably would have been on projection to closer to a high first-round pick at the very least. So he's in that class. He's in that class of guys that are turning around franchises in the NFL right now. You know what I mean? He's in that conversation. That he's in the name, the same category as those names. Obviously, Tua's on a playoff path this year. Baker Mayfield's on a playoff path this year. And Kyler Murray might be. He's still alive based off the fact that they beat the Eagles. So these are all guys that have been drafted in the last couple of years, and they're all leading winning franchises. A lot of the reason is because the offenses in today's NFL, a lot of that stuff really looks like college offenses. So they're having really quick success, and I think that's also part of the reason that you know, Jalen Hurts is having pretty good success right now, because they're running a lot of college-style stuff. And with that being said, that game felt like watching. I felt like I was watching a college game. Did anybody else get that feeling? I mean, it just felt like very little defense, back and forth. You know, it just felt like I was watching a college game. It felt like a couple different things. It felt like a college game, but it also felt like a playoff game, which is a far cry from what the Eagles were a couple of weeks ago. A couple of weeks ago, you felt like you were just waiting for this season to die already, and you were we were hopeful that it would die quickly, because it was just so pathetic to watch this team every week just go out there. Watching them play was like watching, you know, highlights of the Bad News Bears or something like that. You were just kind of hearing the Benny Hill theme song in the background as you're watching them play. A couple of weeks later, they insert Jalen Hurts, they bench Carson Wentz, and all of a sudden they look like the Cardinals, like equals to a team that's probably going to be in the playoffs. I'm going to go out on a limb and say the Cardinals make it, but whatever, doesn't really matter. But it really felt like they were on par with that team and on par with a team like the Saints. And it was to the point where they're fighting tooth and nail, and it's like they're playing for something, and they just look like a completely different team. And I don't want to say it's all just because of benching Carson Wentz, but I think it has a lot to do with it. I think it's more to do with, though, Jalen Hurts' inspiring performance. Because you can see the way he's playing. I mean, he's making – this team's going to believe in him. It's just 2 weeks already. But it's like you can see that this team, by the end of the season, if he keeps playing like this, they're going to have more belief in him than they're going to have in Wentz, which is one of the things that I think is ultimately going to sign Wentz's death warrant. Is once again, you're going to have a divided locker room, and I don't really think that the Eagles want to go through that again. So I really do think that, you know, in my mind, Wentz era is probably over, and he's probably out the door. But, you know, we've seen, I mean, how many times have we said that in the past about Alshon Jeffrey, who had an amazing game, by the way, today out of nowhere. You know, Alshon Jeffrey, we were saying, you know, that we're, all the writers and everybody was saying that they expected him to be cut so many different times, or traded or whatever, based off the fact that his contract doesn't really live up to his performance. He looked pretty good today, by the way, which is really surprising to say, but he looked like an NFL receiver again. He looked like I don't want to say a Pro Bowl caliber receiver, but you saw shades of that. You saw things that made you remember, like, yeah, this guy used to be really good. And he was going against a pretty good secondary, a lot of the times against Patrick Peterson, who's an 8-time Pro Bowler. Obviously, he's probably not as good as he was in the past, but between him and Buda Baker and a lot of the guys they have, I mean, they have a really good secondary in Arizona, and he was the most consistent guy out there. And Hurts was constantly putting balls up for him, saying, go get a big guy, which is something that I don't think Wentz ever really did, which is another reason I think that you saw so much effort out of Alshon today, is because when he has a guy that has faith in him and throws the ball up and says, I'm going to let you fight for it, I think he stays engaged. He stays engaged, which was just very important when it comes to receivers, especially receivers making a lot of money, especially receivers that might have a bit of an ego, which I think you can say that all these things Alshon probably qualifies for. But keeping him engaged, but giving him those opportunities, giving those chances, because that was something that Nick Foles always did. Nick Foles was a guy, he'll put it up there and say, go get it. He'll make his big-time receivers go up and make big plays or give them opportunities to. And, I mean, that's something that I feel like, at the very least, you can see Alshon probably saw in Jalen Hurts as a guy that's going to give him opportunities. So he has to stay engaged. He has to stay involved, because if he takes a playoff, then that ball might be coming his way, and it's going to be an interception. It's going to cost the team. So things like that. I mean, there's so many positives to take away from this. But at the end of the day, I mean, you know, if you're an Eagles fan, you should be excited about Jalen Hurts. If you can't get excited about what you've seen from this kid after just 2 weeks, there's no helping you. You know what I mean? If you're still on the fence and you still think that was a bad pick, and you still think that they should be starting Carson Wentz right now, and you still think all this is a bad idea, you're probably in the minority at this point, because Jalen Hurts has done nothing but look good. He's done nothing but progress within the couple of weeks that he's played. He's been nothing but spectacular, in my opinion. I mean, I watch him play, and I see a guy who, if I were to try to say, like, what young quarterbacks would I take him over right now, or you know, what quarterbacks would I prefer as a prospect other than Jalen Hurts? I mean, there's still things, like, I don't know about his arm. I still am not 100% sure if he's got the type of cannon that you want in the NFL. But you could say that about a couple of different quarterbacks. You could say that about, you know, maybe Lamar Jackson, or, you know, there's quarterbacks out there which I'm not 100% sure if he's got the arm strength. Those 30-yard Hail Marys that he put up at the end of the game, I mean, I'm just evaluating, just like you guys. Those things, I just didn't see a ton of, I don't know. It almost looks like he was laboring those throws, but at the same time, maybe he just wanted to give it plenty of air for his receivers to get a lot of opportunity, for giving them as much opportunity to try to go up and get that ball as possible. So that's something where I really can't say too much about here or there, but it almost seemed like that might be the one question mark that I have about him. I mean, he's completed some long passes. I think he had a 38-yarder in this game, as a matter of fact. He had a couple of long passes, a couple of nice deep balls that were placed properly. I'm just saying, I don't know if he has the howitzer that everybody says that Wentz has, and that you want out of guys like your franchise quarterback, like a guy like Josh Allen or a guy like Patrick Mahomes. Obviously, those guys have next-level arms that are maybe some of the greatest of all time. You've got guys like Matt Stafford, another number one pick from a long time ago. These are all guys that have terrific arms, and I don't know if Jalen Hurts has that yet. I don't know when we're going to find that out. It's fun to watch him every week and find out as his game unfolds, which is very nice. It's different than watching Wentz, who, let's be honest, Wentz at this point, it's like you're still talking about his potential 5 years into his career. It's like, at what point do you stop? Do you say, hey, you know what? He's not going to live up to his potential. I heard a good comparison about Carson Wentz earlier today when it came to trading Carson Wentz, and that was Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford was a guy that people endlessly took chances on, endlessly gave hundreds of millions of dollars to in contracts because of his potential that he never lived up to. Now, obviously, Wentz has probably already had more success in his NFL career than, at least as far as the heights that he's reached, than Sam Bradford. So I almost think a lot of people are skeptical, like, well, what would you get if you traded Carson Wentz coming off such a bad year? I think that there's actually going to be more suitors out there than people really want to give credit. I mean, when Howie Roseman signed the Wentz contract, one of the things that you heard about was that it's a team, like almost like a team-friendly deal. Like, they got Wentz at a discount. I mean, it's a big contract. There's no doubt about it. But at the end of the day, if it was viewed at in that perspective back then, now we have guys making way more than that. Now you got Patrick Mahomes, he's making $500 million over 10 years. And you have contracts like Dak Prescott's coming up, which people are suggesting probably be $40 million, and Deshaun Watson. And there's so many big contracts now. Russell Wilson, all these contracts that are more expensive than Wentz's, maybe people will look at that as a discount, the same way that the Eagles essentially did when they signed it, when that was kind of how it was sold to the fan base, which is, hey, this is like getting a good deal on them for a long term. So that might, a lot of people might look at this at Wentz as a good prospect. I think that they will. It's really going to come down to what are they going to offer to the Eagles? What will teams offer? I really think that the Eagles might be able to get like a late first round pick out of it. That'd be my guess. And maybe a little bit extra, like some back end, third and fourth round picks in future years and stuff like that, which is typically what they do. But I think that that's pretty much what they got for Sam Bradford. They got a future first from the Vikings, and I think they got like a third and a fourth. I'm not really sure, but they should be able to get that type of haul from Wentz, because I'm pretty sure that Sam Bradford's contract was post a couple injuries, because he was injured most of his career. So that wasn't a deterrent. When the Eagles traded for him, I know he had a bunch of injuries. So that wasn't much of a deterrent for Sam Bradford. Once again, I think Wentz has way more potential than Sam Bradford ever had. So I do think that they'll actually be a pretty good opportunity to get some get some bang for your buck if they do decide to try to trade Wentz, because at this point I think it's probably the best way to go. But there's no doubt in my mind at this point that Jalen Hurts is what the Eagles what they need at this point moving forward. Going back to them drafting him, I don't think that the Eagles, it's still unclear, by the way, people really wanted to blame Howie for the draft pick. But I think it's interesting now when you look at it. Maybe it was Doug. Maybe there was conversations behind the scenes the entire time that, maybe Doug had his reservations and wanted that pick. I mean, it's really hard to say. Everybody suggests it's Howie. I always thought that these minds were a lot closer than people realize. I think it could have been Jeffrey Lurie. I think that when Carson Wentz essentially bowed out of the wild card game against the Seahawks, which I know he had a concussion, I know, but at the end of the day, this is the NFL. This is the playoffs. You're the starting quarterback. It wouldn't surprise me if the organization was disappointed that Wentz didn't try to play through that. Like I said, I know concussions are big in the NFL right now. I'm not saying that he should have done that or that the Eagles can come out publicly and behave that way. What I'm saying is that when you have a playoff game of that magnitude, it's his first playoff game. The guy's been here for a long time. He's never won anything. There was a lot of pressure on Wentz, and it seemed like he tried to get out of that game a little bit faster than, you know, than somebody going and ripping him out of the game. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure most teams want a guy that you have to say, hey, you're not looking good. We got to check you out. When instead, Wentz kind of just offered up like, hey, I think I might have a concussion. That's kind of how the report went from what I remember, which was that after a couple of plays, he basically, you know, he tried to clear his head for a little bit. But, I mean, I just feel like ultimately – I think we've seen scenarios in the past where players in less significant games in Philadelphia have hidden the same injury. Malcolm Jenkins was one who had hit a concussion. Camus Grugier-Hill, there was a story that he hit a concussion, and I think it actually might have been part of the reason that he was in the doghouse when he was in Philadelphia was something to do with that. But these are things that happen that players don't want to come out of an important game or whatever. They don't want to lose their job in a lot of scenarios that they try to fight through or they try to make it through. And I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, that's just part of the NFL culture. The NFL culture always has this mentality that, you know, yeah, this might be what's right, but this is what you do in the NFL. And I feel like, you know, you can't say that they're not connected, that he bows out of that game, they lose, and the very next draft, they draft his replacement. I mean, I can't, you know, it just seems to me like something happened, and I think that it might have been that. Something happened that really soured the Eagles organization on Carson Wentz. And if you look at, you know, I mean, he's had several years in a row of down play compared to his 2017 season. I don't know what the medical reports look like for his injuries. Maybe they see a different guy now since he's been injured with multiple injuries. I don't know. But something made them choose Jalen Hurts when they already had a guy who's, you know, $100 million contract hasn't even started yet. So, like I said, I always kind of thought it was that. I always kind of thought it was, you know, that they were – this is a team, this is an organization that wants to win Super Bowls, at the very least compete. They don't want to just get into the playoffs. They're not happy with that. This is an organization that, since Jeffrey Lurie has been there, has been a Super Bowl contender probably half the years he's been there, and they've been a playoff contender probably every year he's been there, with, you know, a few years aside where obviously they didn't quite have – you know, what was needed. But for the most part, since the 21st century turned over, they're one of the winningest franchises in the NFC, probably like fourth or fifth behind teams like the Packers, the Saints, the Seahawks. But they're in that realm. They're in the conversation with those same teams. They're constantly, you know, playing in playoff scenarios and stuff like that. So I just think that that's what they want to be. They don't want to be, you know, just good enough. They want to be a team that's winning championships. That's what they want to be. And one of the biggest things that Jalen Hurts has that I really question with Carson Wentz, and I think it's fair to because he hasn't really done it too much in the NFL, but his mental makeup. I think that Jalen Hurts' mental makeup, his leadership, things like that, I think that they are obvious contrasts to Wentz. I think that, you know, small things like that are really big things in the NFL. Things like, you know, Dak Prescott is a guy that, you know, he doesn't have all the physical tools of Carson Wentz. That's why he went in the fourth round and Carson Wentz went in the second pick overall. But he's a leader. And because of that, because guys follow him and he puts it on the line, he's constantly, you know, bringing his team back when the game's pretty much over, which, you know, we can argue. I mean, I'm not trying to put Dak Prescott on a pedestal because, to be honest with you, I don't think he's a very good quarterback, but he does. But those intangibles are important, and they are what makes him an NFL starting quarterback, is because he has those intangibles, where Jalen Hurts, I think, has that same type of intangibles. I just think he has a better skill set than Dak Prescott. I think he's a better athlete. I think he's a better thrower. I think he reads defenses better. I think he does a lot of things better. So I feel like when you look at Carson Wentz's failures, I think a lot of it goes back to those deficiencies, that he's never really been a vocal leader. I don't know. I mean, if you can't steal the spotlight away from a backup quarterback, that says something. If you can't, even though Nick Foles won the Super Bowl, if you can't get your teammate to say, I'm the number two pick in the draft, I got all the talent in the world, follow me, then that's an issue. And I feel like even now with Jalen Hurts, I don't think he's ever going to get that back. That's one of the reasons you got to move on, because I think Jalen Hurts is already basically, you know, without even winning much, I think he's going to split that locker room, to say the least. And I don't think there's going to be a portion of players that Carson Wentz is ever going to get back, because he is a very different personality than I think what the players in the locker room already has. I mean, he's very religious and he's very charitable, and these are all really great things. Where I feel like Jalen Hurts is a little bit more new new school. I think he's a little bit more relatable. I think he might get along better with the receivers, which you can see. I mean, all the receivers look good today. Quez Watkins came out of nowhere, caught a couple of passes, and scored a touchdown. Jalen Reagor suddenly, all of a sudden, looks like an NFL receiver. Has anybody noticed that? All of a sudden, this guy's getting behind defenses. I mean, he didn't make a couple of plays. He got behind the defense against the Cardinals. He didn't necessarily make the plays, but you can see the speed's there. He's making way more plays now. That's the bottom line. Alshon Jeffery, like I said earlier, all of a sudden looks like an NFL caliber receiver. What do you know? Zach Ertz, there was questions that Zach Ertz's like career was coming to an end when he was playing with Carson Wentz. All of a sudden, he's making plays today. Like, what happened? Like, it's, you know, there's a problem with Carson Wentz when even Zach Ertz isn't eating. Like, even Zach Ertz wasn't getting the ball. Even Zach Ertz was playing so poorly, and it didn't make sense because Zach Ertz has been one of the most consistent tight ends in the league over the past couple seasons. I mean, he's on a Hall of Fame trajectory. And out of nowhere, he fell off the cliff, or is it no? Carson Wentz fell off the cliff. So it's pretty obvious that Carson Wentz was so bad that, I mean, he's just, like I said, Hurts is just making this offense look great. He's completely turned around this season, even though it might be over mathematically at some point. I mean, we're in a bad position right now. I think we have to hope that the Redskins lose. The Redskins play the Panthers next week. The Panthers are, you know, they show promise here and there, but that's a game that they could easily win and end the Eagles' season. And then the Eagles, I mean, we have a game against, we have a division game against the Cowboys, which, you know, usually we can get up for the Cowboys. It'll be an exciting game to watch Jalen Hurts play against the Cowboys, I guess. But, you know, it'd be nice for the Eagles to win. But, you know, they might be playing for nothing. And at that point, I almost feel like it might be better to lose because the Cowboys, you know, they can jump over us. I mean, they're already ahead of us in the division, but I would like at this point, you know, I'm looking down the line. I'm looking towards the future. I think I would really rather a high draft pick at this point because, I mean, I still, if they can make playoffs, if for whatever reason the Redskins lose next week and we win, I'll be excited for that. But at the same time, it's like I really am looking at it both ways. I really don't care how it turns out. I probably would prefer a playoff game, sure. But I would also prefer to get a guy like Ja'Marr Chase out of LSU. I would also prefer any number of receivers, really. I mean, there's so many good receivers. This draft coming up is really a quarterback-heavy draft. And it's really a receiver-heavy draft. And I was actually of the mindset that if Jalen Hurts didn't come in and look as good as he's looked, that I wouldn't have minded trying to get one of the quarterbacks as well if we continue to lose. But I think that's kind of out the window now. I think you've got Jalen Hurts at a bargain basement price, and you got to roll them. But if you can surround him with a guy like Ja'Marr Chase in the draft, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, all these guys, you know, surround him with one of these top tier guys like you never did Wentz, and see what he can do. I mean, I just think that that's probably the best way to go at this point. And I'm looking forward to the future, which is something I can't say that I've done in the past. But without a doubt, I mean, this game between Kyler Murray and, I mean, I know it was against the Cardinals and the Eagles, but between Kyler Murray and Jalen Hurts, it just felt like you were watching two future stars of the league. It felt like you were watching this back and forth battle between two just eventual stars. And I think Kyler Murray's already kind of there, and I think that's part of the reason that Jalen Hurts looked the part two, is because he went back and forth. He went right back at him. He just, no matter how the game went, I mean, there was a lot of times where the Eagles were really down and it looked like the game could possibly, you know, get out of hand. And then Jalen Hurts just fought right back. I mean, it was just like, I felt like I was watching a true classic. And that's, you know, something like when you watch Dan Marino going at it with John Elway back in the day, or Dan Marino going at it with Jim Kelly. I mean, there was so many, you know, there's so many times where you see two great quarterbacks just fighting like that. And that's what it felt like. It felt like you were watching two future stars of not just, you know, their teams, but of the league going back and forth. And I think Jalen Hurts could easily be one of those guys. He could easily be in that same tier, which is basically kind of the point of this entire podcast. So I'm going to go ahead and end the podcast there. Like I said, this is only episode 4 of my new podcast. If you stumbled across this and you like what you heard, I would love a follow. Still building this thing. I mean, I'm still not even 100% sure all the ins and outs of podcasts, but you know, I think I'm doing a pretty good job. I think I'm doing about as good as I can hope for, considering this is something new that I'm doing. So other than that, this has been Philadelphia Eagles Talk, and I'm your host, Kevin Woodman. Thanks for listening.